Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, that yeah. There Will Be Blood was...
It's a great movie.
That is, yeah. That's a movie you need to see a couple times.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've actually watched it a few times on television just to get the vibe.
And it feels different every time you're watching it, too.
Well, you zone into a different chunk of it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
So it's Gavin, and you're listening to Gavin Grades the Movies, and we were just talking about Daniel Day-Lewis, and writer, director, producer Terry George is here, who's worked with Daniel Day-Lewis many times. That's how we got into this conversation. But also Angela Serafian is here, and you're one of the stars, and you are the director of The Promise, which is in theaters now. And I watched it the other day, and it is beautiful. And it is it's a story that needed to be told, I think.
For sure, yeah. The backdrop of it is against the First World War on the Eastern Front and the Ottoman Empire, and particularly the Armenian genocide, the attempt to wipe out some 2 million Armenians. But we've told a love story at the center of that. Particularly in, it's a classic form. The producers wanted a love story like this, and the great films for me, Dr. Zhivago, Warren Beatty's Reds, Anthony Minghella's The English Patient, you know, David Lean's Rand's Daughter. It's a form that has produced some of the most powerful movies in cinema, and it was great to have the opportunity to do that structure of a film, and at the same time tell the story.
And it seems like it makes a very difficult subject matter easier to digest, and because to this day the Armenian genocide is still denied.
It's denied by the Turks, and it's one, and they've been very unsuppressed, and they've been enormously successful. It's one of the great unknown catastrophes of the 20th century.
And because of that, this film feels absolutely relevant right now.
Well,
you look at some of the stories about what's going on in the world, and it is not difficult to draw parallels between current events and what this film is about.
Well, it was particularly poignant for us in that we were shooting a story set in a location that today, the location being the Turkey-Syria border and around Aleppo, and we were shooting people fleeing across the desert, Armenians being trapped up a mountain, while the Yazidi population were under siege by ISIS, people drowning in the Mediterranean. It was like we were filming news rather than a historical event.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it felt like. This is happening. This is still happening today. And Angela, you are Armenian, correct?
Yes.
So did you seek this film out, or did Terry come to you? Was that a coincidence?
Actually, it was very serendipitous. My agent's other client had a general meeting in London, and the script just happened to come across her, and my agent read the script and said, "You have to put yourself on tape in 2 days." And then I did, and then it just, the casting directors were out of town, but somehow eventually it came back around, and I was able to go in for Terry and Oscar Isaac. We actually tested for a different role, and I was very lucky because I got to play a traditional Armenian woman in the film, and at the same time I was shooting Westworld. So
you're Clementine,
Were, right? And HBO finally they let me out for the few weeks.
Oh, that was great.
I was very lucky in that way, and so I got to be a part of this amazing film.
Wow, that's so. As you're performing through this and watching it back, because some of the tougher scenes are, well, I try not to give many spoilers in the movie, but as you're watching the film back, knowing, you know, your lineage, is it really difficult to watch you know, the barbaricness of that history.
It was actually, there was this one scene, in the film where where Oscar's character Mikhail finds his family, his village, and what's happened to them. And the day that we were shooting that, I just thought, of course, I thought, oh my goodness. First of all, it was so beautiful there, but then you have all these dead dummies around. And then I just kept thought, they're dummies, you know, they're not real. But the next day I was talking to someone and I kept telling myself it's not real. And I started to cry.
Wow.
Subconsciously. And I've worked on sets where there have been dead bodies, but it was very moving and very kind of, it moved me on so many levels to be there in that moment. Yeah.
Tara, did you use that? Did you kind of use that emotion, that real emotion to manipulate
that was a difficult scene for a lot of people on the crew. We had several Armenians and a lot of people from that area, Persians, and they really got into it. But emotionally for the lead actors and so forth, it's very draining. And I had a similar situation with Hotel Rwanda, where you're recreating the effect of a genocide. But at the same time with this, and similarly with Hotel Rwanda, it was really important that we get a PG-13 rating and that we don't hit people in the face with the horror of what went on, because I believe you can't recreate that fictionally in a feature film. That you have to have the audience imagine what took place rather than do the gore of it, because we wanted PG-13 rating. We wanted teenagers to see this film as an educational thing.
Absolutely.
We wanted people who were either didn't know about the Armenian genocide or weren't particularly interested in seeing that side of the story to be caught up in this love story and realize they're not going to some sort of horror version of this.
Yeah. And I'm actually really glad that you did that, because my high school is one of the schools that kind of resisted showing Schindler's List to the kids because of the R rating.
Yeah.
Some of these, I mean, you need film to show, the brutalness of what happens. You know, it's almost like a safer, it's like a screen or something, you know, that you can show it in a raw emotional way, but no, it's not real what you're showing.
Yeah.
You know, it's representing real. And you seem to be drawn to this. We were talking about In the Name of the Father, which is, you know, one of my all-time favorite movies, in Hotel Rwanda.
Mm.
What is it about these tough political stories that you're drawn to?
Having done three films about the Northern Ireland Troubles and the impact they had in terms of telling the story of what was going on, I learned that film is probably the most effective way of taking people inside an event that they know nothing about and explaining it, not just explaining it to them, but finding heroic characters within ordinary people who transcend the catastrophic event or the momentous event they're in and come out better people for it, have found their humanity. So this is a great form for me. And when you look back at the films that had the greatest impact, certainly on me, even, you know, growing up, and the David Lean's films, and then Schindler's List, The Killing Fields, Missing, even Hotel. These are films that have become part of educational history and have a vital role in cinema. And sadly, they're being diminished and lost today. So we're in the lucky position of continuing that great tradition.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Why do you think, Angela, you're shaking your head too. Why do you think that they are kind of becoming endangered species?
Purely a financial consideration by the studios. You know, if you spend $250 million on Fate of the Furious and it makes $500 in a weekend and then goes on to make $1 billion, then you divide that in. But we're, you know, you can't just have the emotion of, oh, that's a great explosion, or that's a body joke. That there has to be other emotions tapped into, you know, empathy, sorrow, joy, people's, and a fulfillment. I mean, I hope we make films that people remember long after they leave the cinema.
And that's way more important than having a submarine chase sports cars on an iceberg.
Indeed,
which,
yeah.
I've never seen any of those movies, but the trailer makes me almost go like, I mean, I got to see how they get to that scenario, right?
Right, yeah.
and it's not a comedy? All right, it's not a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of you mentioned the casting and stuff like that. The casting for The Promise, you know, Oscar Isaac, you get Christian Bale as well, you know, two very powerful men in Hollywood. And then Angela, you get to, I don't remember, did you do any scene with Christian Bale or is it all Oscar?
No,
okay.
It's mostly Oscar.
So you're cast opposite Oscar in a lot of your scenes. Does that immediately make you nervous? You said you tested with him. Like, did you know beforehand that, like, oh, you're going to be testing with Oscar Isaac, and he's rapidly becoming one of the biggest leading men in Hollywood?
Yeah, I was very nervous, but I think both Terry and Oscar were very generous in the way that they approached me. For example, it just, they were really, really kind of, it's just us, and we're going to do this scene together, and so you live from one moment to the next and see what happens, and... And Terry really gave us the room to kind of do that. So I felt very kind of at home that they made that comfortable.
So, now imagine you're an audience member, okay, and you're a woman, and you're watching Oscar Isaac, and he's betrothed to one woman.
Right.
And he's going after another who's with somebody else. How would you feel about that guy?
I guess it's a complicated
love story.
It is a complicated love story, but they're different kinds of loves, I think.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make one less invaluable than the other. I think they're both forms of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just kind of see a much layered character than kind of a one-note person.
Mm. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that was the design for me. And initially, Oscar's character, Mikhail, is betrothed in order for him to get money to go to medical school. So he didn't really know Angela's character. But I was dealing with what I call practical love versus passionate love. Even in the relationship between Christian Bale's character and Charlotte Le Bon's character, it's more practical. She relied on him, and then, as many people do in real life, they meet someone that they fall passionately in love with, and they're led into this dilemma. So it's a real modern day predicament.
It's complicated relationship status on Facebook.
And then you put it into, suddenly they're all plunged into this terrible catastrophe, and how that changes those relationships and how they end up. So I think that emulates real life. You know, we know so many people in that situation. And that's the glue that holds it all together. I want people, you know, women and men who like a good love story, weepy traditional, to come to this film and feel that they have sat through a piece of entertainment.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things about it, was that, like, you know, you take the historical genocide, you know, story out of it completely. It's still a really compelling just human relationship story about relationships and stuff like that. Yeah. But then you set it in the backdrop of the Armenian genocide, and it's, wow, this is great. Which actually reminds me that everything about The Promise, it feels like the kind of thing that Oscar pays attention to. Yeah. But typically they're released in like September, October, or November. But you guys are coming out now. Is that to like kind of do like a slow ramp up, or do you not have Oscar aspirations? Or,
well, I know, having been down that road, that there's a period, September to Christmas, where everything is crammed in. But it was important for us to come out on April 21st, which is really close to April 24th, which is the anniversary of the first day of the genocide. We wanted to coincide with that. And you know, and let anything else take its course. This was particularly directed towards genocide awareness and also rallying the Armenian community along with, the greater audience. So the date was really important for us. We actually started the movie. The first reading of the script was on April 24th, 2015, which was the 100th anniversary of the genocide. Mm. So it's a very symbolic release date for us.
Do you know if there's going to be resistance showing it in Turkey?
I think resistance was a small. I don't think we'll get to show it in Turkey at all.
No, I meant resistance like from people who want it shown that have to fight to get it shown. Like, has anybody contacted the studio?
Yeah, and I don't
studio?
Think they're going to succeed. I mean, there hasn't. This is a subject that the Turks just can't get their head around. They've been denying that it was a genocide for 100 years now.
Yeah.
And they've actively suppressed movies that were trying to be made in the past. So it's a very emotive and angry subject. I mean, we had that situation in Toronto where we screened twice to, I think the maximum audience was 3,000. And then by the end of the week on IMDb, we had 86,000 votes, 50,000 of which were like 1 out of 10.
Huh.
And then 20,000 were 10 out of 10.
Just out of response of the subject
I
matter?
I think what happened was that as soon as it was released, someone on the Turkish side of the argument switched to organize a bot system that continually voted and punched up this rating. And then we had a reaction from the Armenian community voting. And it's sort of
interesting.
It messed up the whole IMDb vote system. I think they've changed it now. And we've had other strange things happen.
Yeah, because I mean, I did notice that none of those are warranted at all. It is a lovely film, and it is very well made, and it's noble to release the film, you know, for the historical symbolism.
Right.
And I really hope that Oscar pays attention to it when that season gets closer.
Yeah, it's but it beautiful. Does have. I mean, it has an effect if you go on. When we progress, people do look at these websites now, and if you have video on demand or you're on Netflix and you see 3 out of 10 on IMDb, you're kind of like, well. So it's effective, but we're countering that with word of mouth. When people see the film, they say, this was a really enjoyable and a good film to see.
And actually, it's a good idea to. I'm glad you mentioned that because when you tell me that there's a movement out there to try to suppress viewers of a certain film for especially political purposes, that makes me want to see it more.
Yeah.
To come up with my own opinions, you know, I don't know. I just and it feels like now you're an underdog and now you got to fight for it, which is always a really
And we had a weird situation like 3 weeks ago where a film that looks like us has the same plot but has the Turkish denialist point of view. A film called The Ottoman Lieutenant appeared out of nowhere.
Huh.
And it's a 20...
You didn't know about that, Angela?
Wow, I didn't know about that.
Who plays Angela?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's Ben Kingsley and Josh Hartnett are in it, so it's...
What?
Yeah.
It was like a real, like a Hollywood movie?
It was a Hollywood-produced movie, but coming out of, with the background of a Turkish-produced entity, and it turns out through... A reporter did an expose on it on Daily Beast last week, and it turns out that the funding was coming from the Erdogan family connection.
Wow.
So they literally made the mirror opposite of us. If it was like Superman, it would be the cryptid version.
Wow. Yeah, bizarro promise. That's
totally
what it is.
Yeah.
So you've got that. I mean, to go to that extent.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think it was done in response to this?
Yeah,
film?
I mean, I couldn't not.
So they rushed it.
Well, holy. I think they must have heard of us and got a feeling of the script or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. But lo and behold, it appeared. I mean, it disappeared. It did.
Sure.
You know, it did $260,000 or something like that. But it must have cost, like on my estimation, I'm good at budgets. I'd say $20
million. Wow.
Yeah.
So you did see it?
Yeah, I did. I had to go and see it.
Of course.
How was it?
Well, it was not good, but it had, it had a love triangle. It had someone who drowns in it. It had someone.
Whoa.
Who and it looked.
Do you think that they got a hold of your script?
I think they got a hold of some story or something like
Holy
that. I don't know.
Cow.
It's hard to say, but it's. I mean, the similarities. There's a. If anyone wants to know more about it, they go to the Daily Beast and read Michael Daly's article.
Well, wow, Angela, I need to read it too.
So as an Armenian, to know that this is still like an active campaign, like against the Armenians, against the Armenian genocide, how does that make you feel?
this has been something that the Armenian genocide has been something that I've been hearing my family telling stories all my life. Mm-hmm. And finally, for this movie to be made is kind of a miracle, because it's been so controversial. It's been so difficult. And it's been a dream that Kirk Krikorian has had for so, so long. And so for him to be able to kind of be that hero that's actually made it happen, and Eric Israelian and Terry George that have brought it to fruition, is I think it brings every Armenian that watches the trailer alone to tears, because they've kind of been waiting for this story to be told, because it isn't, because it's still denied, because it is this complicated.
Because you've got the Ottoman lieutenant or whatever the hell it's called still coming out.
And yeah, with their the Turkish argument is that, oh, there was an insurrection by the Armenians and we basically had to move them out of the war zone. No, what they don't say is what they meant by movement is march them across the desert and basically starve them to death and have them die in the desert. And it has a bigger even scope than that, in that the denial of genocide, whether it be in Armenia or in Iraq or wherever, it diminishes this law where, for example, the European Court of Human Rights or the International Court of Human Rights was able to punish the people in Bosnia and Serbia, you know, Milosevic and Mladic and those. So you can bring people to court. But if the very event that the word came from is denied by people, and for political reasons, like the United States doesn't recognize that it was a genocide.
Right.
Because of Turkey's strategic importance, nor do the British. And this is, I mean, it diminishes the whole purpose of having a law that can try to stop this.
Wow.
So the campaign is immediate rather than some sort of historical thing.
Yeah. No. Well, it is a powerful film, and it's way more important than even I realized. So thank you for making it. Thanks for making the drive up to Sacramento, too.
I enjoyed coming here. It's great.
Yeah.
We're spreading the word, so people please go out and see the film.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you guys very much.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.